League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this Rashad Bateman is back episode. Plus, it's just, it's been a pre-production meeting, folks. It's been a time.
In reality, folks, we do read the reviews, and frequently we just look at them before a pre-production meeting. And one of the comments is just gold. So we're going to read a few of these. And this is a hopeless plea for you guys to rate and review. Currently on Apple Podcasts, we have 258 reviews. We are 4.9 out of 5 stars. We're very proud of that. I think.
Yeah, I had.
I don't know. I didn't have any idea.
I didn't really either. So for us trying to give you guys an incentive to actually rate and review us, which helps other people find the podcast and helps us grow, we're going to read a few of these. Two of which are good, one of which is not elite.
This is like our lowest rating in a long time.
I think this guy's the reason we're not 5 out of 5.
Three out of five stars.
If you want us to read your actual constructive criticism or your glowing recommendation of this podcast, head on over to whatever podcasting forum you listen to us at. Leave a review, and next week we will read it live on the air.
Okay, I'll start. This was a good review. This was left by Vike World, which surprises me that Vike World listens to a Gopher podcast, but notwithstanding, okay? The title of his comment is Top Notch, 5 out of 5 stars, okay? By far the best Gopher news available. Just wish they had more podcasts during the off season. Sky Uma, row the boat, go Gophers. So, first of all, things I want to point out about this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I love the 5 out of 5 stars. Number two, he spelt Ma wrong.
That's okay. We still appreciate a Viking fan coming over.
Exactly.
What a future team that is right now.
No offense, Vike World. I love you, man or gal, but it's M-A-H, not M-A. Okay. M-A-H.
Again, the most, as far as we can tell, the three most recent reviews, which has only been two reviews left in the year of our Christian Lord 2020.
So, I think this is really good feedback. We should do more in the off season. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is, I think, the reason why we don't have 5 out of 5 stars. And it's the most Minnesota nice, constructive, bad review I think I've seen. This guy gave us 3 stars. Jimmy DeBuckets, if you're listening, no, we're here for you, because his comment says advertisement for 24/7. He says there's no actual information on this podcast. The podcast is this one guy saying he can't talk about it because his podcast doesn't pay his bills, but it's the Gophers. So how many choices do you really have? Well, you still gave us 3 stars, even though it sounds like you really don't like us.
For the record, sir, there are other.
He doesn't like me.
I think that's it. But, and for the record, there are more Gopher podcasts about Gopher football than just us, right?
Yeah.
There are good friends. I don't know if there are good friends, but I do like Jeremy and his podcast. I'm totally blanking on the name right now. I listen to it frequently. This is terrible.
Luke looks for that. Here's what I'll say to Jimmy to Buckets, buddy. Did you know it's only $1 to subscribe to 24/7, aka Gopher Illustrated, so you can actually get behind the paywall, so you can actually know what's going on and not just get the freeloading information. Like, if you find another podcast that gives you Gopher football wise as in depth breakdowns as what we give you here, you are free to go there. This is a free thing to consume. Like, this is free. Like, what are we? Yeah, of course this podcast doesn't pay our bills. Gopher 24/7 does, aka Gopher Illustrated, and it's doing very, very well because people have figured out that all the great information they get here, it's even more elite, and they know what's going on with this team 20 days from the season. But I'm sorry that you think I talk about not talking about things too much, but thanks for listening, Jimmy Two Buckets.
I'll just say this. Taken All Wrong is the other Gopher podcast that I listen to. Jeremy does a great job. He often has frequent guests. I enjoy it a lot. So if you haven't listened to that, go check it out. It's a totally different kind of format. And I think some people will really enjoy it. Okay. I'm not going to read the third one because it's really, really long.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do the last but one here. It's CLF Landers. And they're just saying, literally, I've listened to every single podcast since your first one. You guys deliver the very best in analysis and review. Two suggestions, one for us that live far away. They're from the desert of West Texas. Is there any way you can convince the Goal Line Club to record audio for their events? We can try, but I'm not making any guarantees there. Maybe they can create a level of membership that would be less expensive. Maybe. Luke, I think they'd be open to it.
We'll have to text them.
The other one would be, their other suggestion to us, Luke, would be you should start a betting line with an over-under for how many mispronounced names Luke will have
during
the 2020 calendar year. Boy, oh boy.
Boy.
Love it. If you want your review read live on the air here, we're looking for new ratings and reviews. Again, I know it's not the most enjoyable thing to listen to, and that's why you can skip it, because this is free to consume. But we are looking to grow the podcast, so if you want to, head on over to Apple Podcasts, or what's the other one that you can leave? Stitcher?
I think you can leave them on Stitcher. I don't actually remember. There's a lot of aggregators that you can find us on.
But Apple Podcasts is probably the one we're just going to read, so...
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Rashad Bateman's back. I take that back. Agent Zero is back. We'll get into that a little bit more. The news broke Wednesday that he's going to be back. He was cleared by the NCAA and has eligibility once again. Let's get into this a little bit, what this means for the Gophers. I do want to point out just quickly, I think I noticed that the Gophers cracked the top 25 again now. I wonder if this has anything to do with Rashad Bateman being back.
Get me started on the AP top 25 rankers right now.
It makes no sense right now because some teams have never played.
Well, here's the thing. Some of them are ranking teams that haven't played. Some of them are only ranking teams that have played. Some don't really know what they're doing. And so you have a lot of ambiguity across the board. So Minnesota went 2 weeks ago. They were 18th, I believe. And then they were unranked. And now they're 25th, and they have done nothing besides practice. So I guess we are covering a top 25 team again, even though they didn't
do anything.
Yeah, but news broke on Wednesday morning that Rashad Bateman's back. And the story goes, Minnesota found out mid-morning on Wednesday before practice. PJ Fleck goes over to Bateman before practice, shares the news with him, and says, "Don't tell anyone until the end of practice. We want it to be a surprise." So at the end of practice, while PJ is talking to the team before he sends him to the locker room, he gets Rashad up there. Rashad announces the news, and the team goes crazy, obviously, because their best player is back. And it's a gigantic boost for this entire team, not just the offense. I think we spent plenty of time on the previous episode of this podcast breaking down the different scenarios about what this offense could be with Rashad back. And so if you want to listen to that in audio form, you can go back and consume that for free, or you can head on over to Gopher Illustrated. I made what my thoughts were on Bateman being back and how it affects the entire team for free there as well. So it's two very, very easy ways to consume that. But Luke, he is going to be Agent Zero, which I believe is the first time in a long time that Minnesota's had number zero on the football team.
Yeah, very interesting move. I'm actually all for this. If you didn't hear, you didn't see, He is wearing number zero this season because he believes in, as I totally agree with him, because he wants zero tolerance for racism in this culture and absolutely wants to be able to make that stand out. And by wearing number zero is one way to do that. And frankly speaking, I don't see why anyone would disagree with him. And I think it's great that he's using his platform to hopefully be able to communicate that to some people. Because frankly, in our culture, we don't need any place for any kind of racism whatsoever. I don't think we need to talk anymore about that.
Well, here's what I'll say. I agree with everything that Rashad's trying to do with number zero and what he's trying to make it stand for. I agree with all of Luke's comments. And for the stick to football, guys and gals, this is going to be a rough year for you because we're not going to try to stick to football in terms of that, and neither is Rashad. So I'm glad that he's using his platform to try and make his voice heard. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. But I think the only other really thing to mention here is I think, in my opinion, this is Fleck's first five-star commit. Now, you can say whatever you want to say about Ryan. You're embellishing. What are you doing? You're a buffoon. But hear me out. Rashad didn't have to come back in any way, shape, or form, and he would still likely be a top 30 pick. And what are most five stars projected to be? If we're trying to be accurate here, there's only going to be 15, maybe 20 of them per recruiting class. And five stars are meant to be, they have an incredibly high floor, and they have an astronomically high ceiling. Well, Rashad Bateman, has all he's done in a Gopher uniform is break records. He's the reigning Big Ten receiver of the year as a sophomore. What are we even discussing here? His impact coming back when he didn't even have to is gigantic. And that's where I'm saying I think this is Fleck's first five-star commit. You can agree, you can disagree, that's fine. But when you get a likely top 30 overall draft pick back on his own volition, it completely changes the team, and I think you're going to be able to see that this fall.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms. I like the analogy of, this is really his first five-star commitment. You're right, he didn't have to come back. Obviously, it's great that he did. I think also the other thing that kind of stuck out to me is I think I read in the Star Tribune this last week that he actually already had COVID-19, which maybe shed some light to the fact that maybe of why he opted out and didn't know what was going to be ahead of him from that perspective. But again, it's pretty exciting to have him back, and it'll make the season all the more fun.
Yeah, I remember all the comments of when Rashad Bateman opted out 6 weeks ago or whenever it was now. No, it's longer than six, I think 8-10 weeks ago, potentially. When he opted out then, you saw a bunch of people in the comments on social media calling him some very specific names, saying he doesn't care about anything. Yeah, he's citing health reasons. It's for money. The dude already had COVID. Like, what are we even discussing here at this point? But yes, regardless, Bateman's back. Big, big news for the Gopher football team. And is this going to help their outlook, as is this next nugget, Luke?
Yeah, so I woke up this morning. One of the rare opportunities that I got to sleep in, woke up and some news had broken that Wisconsin quarterback Jeff Cohen was going to be out indefinitely. Now it appears that he has a broken foot. And, most people will be like, they'll just plug and play someone else. Need we remind you, Jack Cohen absolutely torched the Gophers last year. Like, this is, in my opinion, this is a really big loss for them.
I'm glad you corrected your mistake there. You called him Jeff Cohn and then...
Did I say Jeff? Oh,
I was just going to say, Luke, it's legitimately written right in front of you on the outline here in terms of what his name is. You can't even mess it up.
I wasn't even looking at the outline. Oh, that's amazing. Luke. Okay, it's Jack Cohen. I am capable of pronouncing Jack, so keep me for young. The record. There we go.
Keep me young. But... yeah, I mean, to me, this is big news. Now, you can say what you will about Wisconsin being a system quarterback school. Trust me, I've seen it all over social media today. But all I know is when I saw Jack Cohen live last year, he absolutely torched Minnesota in the snow. He only had 15 completions, but he still threw for 280 yards. I mean, we're talking nearly 20 yards of completion, somewhere around 18 for two touchdowns and no turnovers. I mean, it's a long line, in my opinion, of Wisconsin quarterbacks, not named Alex Hornibrook, just torching Minnesota. But this Wisconsin team has a lot of question marks even further now, because with that broken foot, he's out indefinitely. I'm not entirely sure if I have not seen a time frame for when Jack Cohn will be back. But reminder, as we sit here, we're less than 3 weeks away from the Gopher football season. And that means the same thing for Wisconsin. So I'm going to have to imagine he's out at least a month. And that's where offensively for Wisconsin, they're now going to be without their quarterback, one who's played essentially all the football for Wisconsin. You look at the guys behind him, I believe it's Chase Wolf and then four-star All-American guy, Graham Mertz. Now, I would imagine it's going to be Mertz, and he's got all the physical intangibles you want. But how quickly can the game slow down for him is going to be my question. They're without Jonathan Taylor, and they don't have a bona fide stud running back behind him yet. And if you don't believe me in that, why have all of the breadcrumbs that have been coming out of Wisconsin in 2020 been that Wisconsin wants to go to a more pass-happy offense? You don't go to a more pass-happy offense if you have legitimate running back talent ready right now. You don't, especially if you're the Wisconsin Badgers.
Well, that and they, you know, lost some offensive linemen.
They also lost three starters on their offensive line. They also lost Quintez Cephas, who absolutely wrecked Minnesota last year for 100-plus yards and a touchdown. But I'm not saying, like, Wisconsin's going to be 500. Put it in the books. That's what's going to happen. No, Wisconsin should still be the favorite, in my opinion. Their defense, even without Chris Orr and Zach Bond, their two very good linebackers, is still really good. But my point here being is, does this open the crack in the door a little bit wider for Minnesota? Because Iowa's got a lot to replace. Wisconsin's now got to figure out what life offensively looks like for them. And can they sustain themselves in the early part of that schedule while they try to get Jack Cohn back? And can Minnesota take advantage of it? And that's how I'm reading into it, is does that crack widen a little bit more with the news that Cohn goes down and Baton's back? That's going to be something I'm really going to be watching here in the early part of the season.
It will be an interesting season just in general, right? It's so unique in that, you know, it's a pandemic shortened season. You don't get a lot of time, you know, obviously you miss spring practice. You don't get a lot of time in fall camp. You know, the amount of time you've had to prepare for a given season is shorter. I think really anything could happen. It might be quite unique, much like Major League Baseball this year, where, you know, how many teams made it, and, you know, it's just really odd and strange. I think that's totally possible here, in this Big Ten season.
Well, the question for me is going to be, you look at the first three games of Wisconsin's schedule, Illinois, Nebraska, and Purdue, about as easy as of a start you can get, not named Northwestern. But is Jack Cohn going to be back by mid-November? I mean, that would put him 8-10 weeks out, because then they take on Michigan, Northwestern, and Minnesota. And then December they end with Indiana and Iowa. Not entirely sure, but it's something to monitor.
All right, let's get into this defensive preview then, transition here. I know, Ryan, you're probably going to want to, you know, promote 24/7. So for those of you, there is a possibility here to kind of skip forward if you're not interested in hearing this. So here we go.
Well, if you're not, you're just missing out on free content, because I have gotten interviews with five assistant coaches in the last week, including one that I thought was really good with defensive coordinator Joe Rossi. Now, there's two parts to them. There's five questions in each. One is free. One's behind the paywall. Trying to help you guys out that maybe the pocket's a little tight. But for those of you who want to read everything from the mouth of the people who coach at the University of Minnesota, of which, by the way, Joe Rossi hasn't talked in 2020 to anybody else. Matt Simon, Kenny Burns, Clay Patterson, Brian Callahan, and then Joe Harris-Simiak, six assistant coaches. They haven't talked to any other media outlet except Gopher Illustrated. So if you want to get behind the paywall, it's a buck. Seems like a pretty good thing to me.
All right, let's start in on defense. This is a crew that's going to be led once again by Joe Rossi. Let's never talk of Rob Smith again. We'll just leave it at that. We're thankful that Joe Rossi is here. I've pretty much eaten my words about him a number of times so far. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do after losing a number of key position players. Carter Coughlin being one, obviously Antoine Winfield, Barber. I'm trying to think who else. Who?
Barber, Martin Williamson, yeah. Winfield. Seven starters in total have gone from last year's team.
So quite an overhaul. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do basically with all Fleck recruited players. A lot of those defensive guys were recruited by the Jerry Kill, Tracy Clays era. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, he's incapable of recruiting. I'm just saying that, you know, the reality is they were recruited by Fleck. It'd be interesting to see what they can do. So let's start in maybe on defensive end, Ryan. We already mentioned that they lose Carter Coughlin, you know, a stalwart at defensive end for them. Came in as a linebacker, played 52 games, 40 tackles for loss, 22 and a half sacks in his career. That's no slouch. And again, Winston Dilaudibudere is lost as well. This is a guy that was kind of the heart and soul in terms of an emotion factor for this team. He played 43 games. It's pretty hard to replace everything that they're going to have to replace this year on defensive end.
It's going to be a little bit difficult to start. Now, the overall general outlook I have on this Gopher defense in 2020 is, yeah, they lose a lot of experience, but I think they're going to be taking an upgrade athletically. Now, the question is going to be, how quickly can these young players who are inexperienced start to play to that speed, to that athletic ability that Fleck has recruited? And when are they going to get out of their own heads and stop playing maybe a half step to a step slow? That's going to be the question for me, because you look at defensive end to start here. Luke mentioned it. You're losing 95 career games between Carter Coughlin and Winston Dilaudibudere. They combined for 53 tackles for loss, Carter Coughlin, 22 and a half sacks. Plus, you throw in Teyon Devers into that mix as well. The bottom line here I'm trying to get across is those are two guys that played a significant amount of snaps over the last three years at those end positions. And they don't have a ton of experience behind them. Now, yes, the two guys that are going to be replacing them are going to be Boye Mafi, Hopkins owned, and Asezi Otemiwu, which I'm really regretting not having Luke try to pronounce.
I remember that one.
Now, Mafe and Otemiwu have played in games for Minnesota the last couple of seasons. They've rotated in, but I don't know that I've seen them in their snap counts get over, say, 40% of the defensive game. Now, they're going to be probably tasked with playing 70-plus percent of games, because behind them is even more inexperienced guys. But I think Boye Mafe, I mean, I've talked about him on this podcast for way too long, way too often this entire podcasting season here. But if you just are tuning in now with football back in 20 days here, the cliff notes would be Boye Mafe is 6'4", 260, and is a 40-inch vertical. He's incredibly long. He made Bruce Feldman's College Football Freaks list. And when you put on the tape from last year, when Mafe got opportunities in pass-rushing situations, he made an impact more times than not. Now, the question is going to be for Boye Mafe, instead of playing 20-25% of snaps, when he's playing 65-70% of snaps, can he still make that large of an impact when you triple his snaps? Can he still be an edge rusher? Can he still hold his own against the run? What is that going to look like? And how long is that learning curve going to be steep for him before it starts to flatten out as things slow down? And I think the same really goes for Asezi is, when you look at the difference physically between Winston and Asezi, Winston is 6'1", 260. Asezi is 6'6", 270. Now, you tell me which one looks like the Big Ten defensive end, but then you also tell me why Winston is the one who got snaps over him the last 2 years. And now going into year four for Asezi in PJ Fleck's first recruiting class there, it's time for him to embrace that role. He has to embrace his body, and he's got to really be a strong side defensive end for Minnesota and really play well against the run. Because behind them, I mentioned inexperience, behind Mafe is going to be a converted linebacker in Thomas Rush, someone that has all the athletic ability that you could possibly want. I think if you're looking for someone that looks like Carter Coughlin physically, Thomas Rush is going to remind you a lot of him. But that should tell you he's an undersized guy per se. He's only 230 pounds or so, but he's got that lightning quick first step that Minnesota is going to try to use closer to the line of scrimmage to see if things slow down for him. And then behind Asezi, I'm penciling in true freshman Gage Keys. And it's never really a good thing for me to talk about a true freshman being rotated in more times than not on the defensive line. But that's the reality of where Minnesota's at with their defensive end position. And Minnesota feels good enough about it to an extent that they have moved MJ Anderson down to defensive tackle. He was kind of in that tweener where it's like, is he a five technique defensive end where he's lined up between the guard And the tackle, is he a three technique where you're between the guard and the center? You know, it's going to be a different kind of thing, but that just tells you that Minnesota feels comfortable enough that Gage Keys, who was an early enrollee, he was here for spring practice. They've really enjoyed what he's done in the weight room, building up his body. Now, the best days for Gage Keys are far, far ahead for him. But for this fall, he is likely, from what I've been told, the most physically ready of those guys. And yes, that includes Ja Joyner and Jalen Logan Redding that Minnesota is very fond of as well. But Keys is the one most ready, and I expect to be those four guys more than likely that are going to be rotating in this fall.
All right, so let's transition to defensive tackle. This is a position, I guess I was surprised to say that Sam Renner was probably the highlight at defensive tackle for them last year. Did that surprise you, Ryan? Let's just go back to that review last year. I was surprised.
I think
he was probably their best defensive tackle, right?
He was, I think, their most disruptive.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Sam Renner played out of his mind, and I think Jim Panagos deserves a lot of credit for that. But I think the guy replacing him is more physically gifted in Keyonte Shad. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Sam Renner. I mean, led the team in sacks, second in tackles for loss, very disruptive as a three technique. And I think an angle here that with this essentially free year of eligibility for everyone, there may be no player on this defense that's going to benefit individually and as an entire defensive unit than Keyonte Shad. He was a JUCO All-American at Ellsworth in Iowa, played last season as a true junior, and really reshaped his body, mixed in here and there, made some plays. But now, yeah, he's going to be a senior this fall, but it really doesn't matter because he gets that extra year in 2021 where he can continue to work on his craft with Chad Willett, can continue to reshape his body, because I think Keyonte Shad's ceiling is definitely a draftable NFL guy. I do. I've seen it in person. I know what he looks like. I've seen how disruptive he can be when things are working well for him. And that's where I think you're going to start to see it this fall as he gets more and more comfortable with that three technique position, playing a majority of snaps. But I think you're really going to see it in 2021. I really do. And that's where, alongside Shad this fall, is going to be Mike Adu-Treadway back for his sixth year as nose tackle. A very, very key cog as Minnesota tries to continue to limit big plays, especially in the run game. But behind them, it's really going to be another youth movement. You'll have Jamal Teague back for his third year. He'll be rotating, I think, at both one tech and three tech. But then we start to get into these young PJ Fleck defensive tackle recruits like Rashad Chaney, the one-time Alabama and Georgia commit. I've heard very good things about him and how he's progressing behind the scenes. I expect to see him rotated in defensive tackle this fall. One of my favorite guys for, say, a breakout guy that hasn't played is D'Angelo Carter. I think he is going to be a Steven Richardson type if things really go well for him. If things continue to go on the trajectory that he is on behind the scenes, I think he can have a Steven Richardson type of impact in his career, which, if you remember back, boy, what was it, 5 years ago now when Steven was here last? When things went well for him under Tracy Clays, he was a very disruptive guy in the backfield, and I think D'Angelo Carter has that ability as well. And then you'll also be mixing in MJ Anderson, who I mentioned earlier, a guy that is 6'3", 280-something pounds, that Minnesota thinks can be a little bit of a tweener between one and three technique as well. But you're going to be replacing snaps with Renner, but luckily you have Shad in there, and who's going to get that extra year?
All right, let's talk some linebacker. We touched on this already. They are going to lose a lot here. They're going to lose Thomas Barber, Kamal Martin, both of which played a ton of games, basically from the start to right away as freshmen. I think in the notes here we have 49 games for Barber, 45 for Kamal Martin. Kamal Martin was looking like he was going to be starting for the Green Bay Packers until he had a surgery that ended his it didn't end his season, but you know, shortened his rookie season for sure. It's going to be tough to replace those two guys. So I'm really curious, Ryan, to hear what you think is going to happen at linebacker.
Well, it's going to look a lot different. I mean, first and foremost, it's just going to have to, because Thomas Barber and Kamal Parton have played along with Blake Cashman, like all of the reps when they've been healthy. Now, and I'm going to miss Thomas Barber, just another long line of the Barber lineage that came in under valued and left underappreciated. And Thomas had a sensational career, 38 starts at Mike linebacker, 274 tackles in 49 career games. I mean, he was so, so good. When Kamal finally figured it out last year, you saw how good he could be. And so did the Green Bay Packers, where he was in line to start. And then 2 weeks out, he gets a knee injury and now he's out for the year, which is unfortunate.
He is out for the year now. I didn't catch that. I thought he was just out for like 4 weeks.
No, I believe he's out indefinitely, and I don't think they're really expecting him back, which is unfortunate. So, DeGon are two guys that played a ton of snaps. It's just another general theme about this 2020 defense. But if there's one guy that I can assure you Joe Rossi is very high on, that is going to be number 55, Mariano Sorry-Marion. Which, Luke, does that surprise you at all? Because he's a guy we talked a lot about last fall, a young guy that, if you remember all the way back to the South Dakota State game and in that non-conference, he was in on some different personnel packages, but he struggled at times. And I remember breaking that down with Derek Burns.
Yeah, I mean, come to think of it, I think we picked on him more than anyone, right? So I'm surprised. I know he had some splash plays. Like, I can think of the one, was it against Penn State? He had a pretty good blitz.
He blew up the running back, got a hand on the quarterback's arm, and Winfield's able to pick it near the end zone.
Yeah, that was one of them. But, you know, for the most part, it was kind of some inconsistencies where he struggled with just some conceptual stuff, like, sticking to defensive, sticking to the play and making reads. Really interested. I know when I read that piece on Gopher Illustrated that Rossi was so high on him.
He was. And that's where, if you should know anything about the Gopher football staff, yes, they're going to use the PJ like verbiage and different vernacular, but Rossi probably uses it the least, and he's probably the most open and honest too. And that's where Luke references that piece that I did on Gopher Illustrated. And for those of you who didn't read it, because it's behind the paywall and you don't want to pay yet, that's fine. I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek here. And that's where I asked him, how far did he see Mariano come from 1 to 13, and what are his expectations for him in 2020? And he says, and I quote, "My expectation is that he's going to be one of the best linebackers in the league. He's incredibly intelligent, and he works hard, he's physical, and he's got great vision. We have a high standard for him, high expectations for him, and I have no reason to believe that he's not going to meet them." And I trust me, my eyebrows went up too, if you're listening to that right now, thinking, are we talking about the same 55? Because yes, Sorry-Marion did get better from game 1 to game 13. But for Rossi to think and have the expectations of that he is going to take another big leap, that'd be huge news for this defense. And I know from talking to some people over there not named Joe Rossi, when I told them that quote from him, they were like, yeah, I could see it. He's playing a lot faster this fall. So I'm hoping that Rossi's right and that Sorry-Marion is a very adequate linebacker, because as experienced or inexperienced as Mariano is, behind him is even more green, because don't expect Braylon Oliver to play this fall. If you've learned anything from this podcast, it's that I'm not expecting him to play. Suffered a spring practice injury. We have heard absolutely nothing from PJ Fleck that's been definitive about it. But from what I've heard, don't expect Braylon Oliver. So that means you're going to be going with freshmen or Josh Ani, which is a redshirt sophomore. Now, my odds on bets would be on two redshirt freshmen, one by the name of DJ Gordon, one by the name of Donald Willis. They are both very tremendously talented linebackers that love to come downhill, and they are incredibly, incredibly physical. If you ever want to watch a highlight tape of a linebacker that makes you think, is half of these hits, is that ball carrier okay? Did he get up?
Right.
Sir Donald Willis huddle into your Google machine. His senior highlight tape is just him decapitating everyone. He is full speed through the ball carrier, through the quarterback. He is incredibly violent. Now, has the game slowed down enough for him? And can he comprehend what Rossi's going to want to do defensively from a game plan schematic standpoint? Or will it be James Gordon, who's also a very violent linebacker that loves to come downhill? I'm not entirely sure, but I know that those guys are very gifted, very physical, and not afraid to play with their head off at times. Or is it going to be a redshirt sophomore by the name of Josh Ani, from Highland Park here in St. Paul, just south of us here, Luke, as we're both now Roseville natives.
Mm-hmm.
But is he going to be able to take that step up from special teams guy to now can he mix in on certain packages and make an impact? Or is it going to be one of the true freshmen that Joe Rossi also talked about extensively in that report that would be named Cody Lindenberg and Jaquandis Burns? I think of the four freshman linebackers, those two are most ahead. And it's also not a coincidence. Those were the two that were here in the spring. I think Lindenberg and Burns have an outside chance to potentially earn reps on this defense this fall. But I think for sure they're going to be on special teams, which is great for Rob Wenger as he tries to improve upon his non-elite special teams as we look forward here to 2020. Now, I don't think we're going to see a lot from Lucas Finnessy or Tank Brown this fall. And I know that's going to surprise some folks, but I think for Tank Brown, Itavian Brown, the four-star linebacker Minnesota signed from St. Louis, I think he's got to get some things in order off the field with academics. You've heard me talk about that before with like Rashad Chaney or Jason Dixon, but we'll see how that all pans out. But I think you're going to see a lot of Sory Marin, a lot of James Gordon, Donald Willis, Jaquandis Burns, Josh Ani, and Cody Lindenberg this fall, whether it be at that linebacker position, whether it be on special teams.
All right. So let's talk a little secondary here. Maybe let's start with the nickel. This is a spot that was basically held down by Chris Williamson. It's going to be a tough position to fill.
I just
don't know where they fill it. Right. I just don't know.
I wish I could be at practices watching. Because that's the number one thing I am nervous about with this defense is I miss Chris Williamson already, and I haven't even watched a game. Because Chris Williamson, as that de facto linebacker, third linebacker in the box / cover corner, how well he played against KJ Hamler against Penn State last year, Minnesota's going to miss that. Because Justice Harris, Solomon Brown, or Jalen Glaze, your three candidates there, are likely – I'd say very likely not to play to that level, certainly early on in Minnesota's 2020 schedule. So I asked Rossi about it, and he didn't really give away anything, but it's going to be interesting to see what route he goes in 20 days. Now, let me break down the three candidates for you. Justice Harris is physically one of the first guys you'd want off the bus. He's a great kid. I think he's academic all Big Ten. But anytime Justice Harris has had to cover someone in an actual Gopher football game the last 3 years, it has gone incredibly, 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 incredibly poorly. It just hasn't gone well. And I'm just skeptical it clicks here in year four for him as a true senior. I'm just very skeptical that it happens. I'm going to be very curious to see which way Rossi goes with that because he is the elder statesman of that room. Behind him are two freshmen. One by the name of Solomon Brown, one by the name of Jalen Glaze. Both of them have been repping there since the spring. Both of them, I think they're superior cover corners to what Harris can provide. But can they provide that physicality that Rossi is going to be looking for? Because it's so tough to really replace what Williamson did without gaining experience and taking your lumps. Now, I don't really want to bet. And again, Justice Harris, all indications, a tremendous man, a tremendous kid off the field. I just don't want to bet on him winning and maintaining hold on that nickel position. So I don't know what way Rossi's going to go with it. I'd like to think the momentum would be for true freshman Jalen Glaze to win that spot before potentially Steven Ortiz takes over for that in 2021, but we'll see. It's just a position that I'm not exactly enjoying the committee race. Because I know how valuable that spot is in the Big Ten. Because if you haven't heard, Rondale Moore is also back. And you know where Rondale Moore likes to live? In the slot. And I'd really, really not like to see Justice Harris versus Rondale Moore. Because I think I know how that's going to go.
Yeah, that's not a great matchup in the Gophers' favor, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit of corner. This is a position group, going into last year was kind of a question mark, right? And then coming in this year, you feel some stability. You have two all Big Ten corners returning in St. Juste and Coney Durr. you know, with Benjamin St. Juice and Coney Durr, you have a lot more confidence than you might have last year. But you're trying to fill, you know, seven other positions. So is more pressure going to be put on them this year? I'm curious to hear your thoughts really on the corner position in general.
This is as good as I've felt about corner since some young men named Brian Boddy, Eric Murray, and Jalen Myrick have been here. I think St. Juice and Durr, I mean, I think it's about as good as you can ask for coming back. They're two all Big Ten honorable mention corners, two guys that both had 10 passes defended last year. And the key point for me to try and get across to you guys is I would imagine that with two corners that Rossi trusts, that means more man coverage, which in turn means more blitzing from the front seven as Minnesota tries to generate pressure. And that's where some of the skill sets of those young linebackers, I mentioned Donald Willis and DJ Gordon. What do they do well? They do well coming downhill really quickly, and you don't ask them to try and read a running back's route or read a tight end. If you just say, hey, go get that quarterback and get there as quickly as you can with as much violence as you can that's legal and try to get the ball out, I think they understand that one pretty well. And that's where I think you're going to see Minnesota be aggressive with that front seven, because you can rely on Benjamin St. Juice and Coney Durr. And I think it's going to be interesting in 20 days because, you know, who's coming to town, Luke? It's Michigan and those Wolverines of Jim Harbaugh. And it's the whole revenge game narrative for Mr. Benjamin St. Juice, because they tried to get him to medically retire. St. Juice said, screw you, I'm going to go play elsewhere. And he played awfully well for Minnesota down the stretch. You think he has had this game circled on the schedule for a while? I think so. But behind St. Juice and Durr, it's going to be a little iffy for me. I know people love Terrell Smith, a guy that is going to be a third-year corner for Minnesota. My thing with Terrell Smith is this. Yeah, he looks great physically. He's 6'1", really long, and can run very, very fast in a straight line. But is he going to fix the issues that plagued him last year and why he was out of the rotation? The two reasons he was out of the rotation were, can he be physical at the line of scrimmage and can he make the tackle? And when he's in coverage, can he stop being so grabby? He got too many penalties on too little snaps last year to justify putting him in there more. He's got to fix up those two issues if he's going to continue to take strides forward. You'll also have Philip Howard back after briefly going into the transfer portal earlier this year. He's out. He's going to be, I would imagine, a punt gunner for Minnesota and also provide depth. And then you got a couple of true freshmen, and one that I really want to highlight would be Miles Fleming, someone that Michigan tried to get to flip to them last year in October. I know that was a big thing for PJ Fleck. They lost sleep about because Dad was a huge Michigan fan and still is. But Miles wanted to blaze his own trail at Minnesota. And from what I've heard, Miles is going to be a little raw at the position because he played quarterback for his high school team, did play some corner, but doesn't really know the technique-wise. But from indications I've heard in fall camp, he is progressing very quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him on special teams this fall as a true freshman. And we'll see how the cornerback rotation also kind of mixes in there.
All right. So let's chat a little bit about safety. I mean, you lose Antoine Winfield. You know, this is a guy that could have come back. But, I mean, he just won, what was this, NFL Rookie of the Month? Or, I mean, he's basically – what is it, Pro Football Focus is like top defensive rookie. I mean, he's getting a ton of praise in the NFL. Well-deserved. Going to be a tough void to fill. But I think this is a guy that we talked about a lot last year that maybe made the biggest improvement was Jordan Howard. He jumped up significantly where he was a guy that you couldn't trust before to being a very dependable player and probably bring some stability this year in 2020 to the safety position.
Jordan Howard or Jordan Howden?
Oh gosh, Jordan Howden. Did I say Howard?
Are you thinking of a running back for the Miami Dolphins?
Man.
Seven carries a game for -3 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he's on my fantasy team. I think that's part of it. I didn't play him this week, though. I didn't. I promise.
Yeah, I mean, Winfield's I mean, it should surprise absolutely no one listening to this that Winfield's transition to the NFL has been very, very good. Wins NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month in his first month in the league. And he's a part of a very good Buccaneers team that is winning a lot of football games. So it's going to be nice to potentially see him.
Speaking of the Buccaneers, has Tyler Johnson, is he still hurt?
No, he's been getting snaps the last 2 weeks.
Did he catch yet? Okay.
There's some injuries at the wide receiver position, but he's healthy and he's getting snaps.
All right, so nice.
We'll see how it continues to go. As I know, I think another pass catching option for the Bucs went down. I think a torn Achilles or something for OJ Howard, who's a tight end for them. So maybe next week's the week Tyler Johnson gets his first NFL catch.
All right.
It'll be very, very cool to see. But it's going to hurt not having Winfield. And I can assure you, no one is more excited that Antoine Winfield is gone than the Fresno State Bulldogs.
Who aren't on the schedule.
Even still, I'm sure they're not sitting there at night thinking, boy, can't wait to get into the fourth quarter or overtime to have Winfield dash away all my hopes.
Hold on. Speaking of, wasn't BYU on the schedule? They look super good this year.
Yeah, BYU is looking very, very good. It would have been a really, really good test for Minnesota.
Right.
I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't get to see that, which would have been, I think, last weekend, that BYU and former Kirk Shiroka quarterback target Zach Wilson come to town. That would have been a heck of a matchup. But I think, as you know, as big of a loss as Winfield's going to be, an All-American safety, played so well for Minnesota, it's going to really kind of fall to me on the shoulders of Jordan Howden, which, if you were to have told me that at 13 months ago,
that'd been scary.
I would have been terrified, because Jordan Howden is a freshman, and all I have written here is oof. As a true freshman, it really, really wasn't good. Was that Rob Smith? Was it Jordan Howden as a true freshman trying to figure things out? Probably both. But all I know is Joe Harris-Simiak came in. Joe Rossi takes over, Harris-Simiak being his position coach, Rossi being the defensive coordinator. And Jordan Howden went from bad to, I think, above average to slash good last fall.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, he's going to have to take that big of a leap again to that good to pretty dang good range if Minnesota's secondary is going to continue to kind of solidify things in the back end. He has the experience to do it. He's got the athletic ability to do it. I think he has an incredible teacher to learn from in Joe Harris-Simiak, who, I don't think it's a coincidence that Howden went from not good to good in the span of 1 year with Joe Harris-Simiak. Now, what can he do in year two with him? But Minnesota's going to need to see it, because filling that void that Winfield is leaving is going to be a true sophomore by the name of Tyler Newbin. You'll remember him from, I believe, the 2019 recruiting class, where he was, I think, Minnesota's highest rated guy, a four-star safety, had a plethora of Big Ten offers from Illinois. Physically and athletically, he's what Big Ten safeties look like. He's 6'1", 6'2", long. Great speed, great ball skills. But everyone saw in 2018 what it's like to throw a young safety into the fire. And that's what Tyler Newbin's going to do. Minnesota's not going to rotate him more than likely with anyone. He is going to be the guy. They want to get his feet wet. They want to make sure he's ready for the 2021 season, which, if I haven't said it enough on this podcast, yes, the 2020 season, incredibly important to the staff. But if you don't think they know what the schedule looks like in 2021 and what they have coming in and what they have coming back in 2021, they have that season circled. And I think it could be a magical season like 2019 was. So as they try to get ready for that, they're potentially going to be ready to take some lumps with Tyler Newbin there as a true sophomore at that safety position. So they need Howden to take another step forward. They need Newbin to be ready to face what's going to be thrown at him. Because behind him, I think the three guys that you're going to look at are Benny Sapp. The answer to your question, listener, is no. It does not surprise me that Tyler Newbin is getting the start over Benny Sapp, because Benny Sapp, I'm not entirely sure, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Physically, he's very filled out. Wouldn't be surprised to see Minnesota use him in some different blitz packages this fall. But yes, he's been able to stay healthy, but you have to remember, folks, this is the same guy who had three knee surgeries, I believe, in high school. And then he had dealt with some knee issues as a freshman. So all that twitch that was there early in his career, You know, he is working as hard as he possibly can to get that back, but I just don't know how much of a ceiling there is for him to attain. But he's likely going to be your third safety along with Kelvin Swenson, a guy that has played a lot of football on special teams, a lot of football as a rotating guy at times into the secondary, a really good character guy for this defense. And then if there's one safety that is young that I want to talk up, it's Michael Dixon. He's a true freshman that Minnesota got out of the state of Georgia. And I know from the moment he stepped on campus here this summer and from what he accomplished in the weight room in the spring and the summer here, he is going to be on special teams. And he's a guy that Minnesota's got a lot of plans for long term. Wouldn't be surprised one bit that if an injury happens to Howden or to Newbin and some things have to be figured out there, that Michael Dixon potentially gets a shot.
All right, let's chat a little bit of special teams to close this thing out then.
We
could have our own dedicated podcast, but
no.
But being that it's like 49 minutes into this.
I'm excited football's back in 20 days. I really enjoy covering this team. But God almighty, if there's one part about this team that I loathe and I dread, it's anytime fourth down happens, because I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, then. Let's go from that. Assuming that the Gophers aren't able to make a first down, punting this year will be a 26-year-old Australian by the name of Mark Crawford.
How do you feel that your guy, Jacob Herbers, is gone? And my guy, Mark Crawford's in.
I don't understand how he's my guy, but sure.
Jacob Herbers is a tremendous human being.
He is.
But here, the facts are that Minnesota ranked dead last in Big Ten play in yards per punt. Like, if you're okay with 37 yards and that's it, great, but I'm not.
No.
I'm just not. Like, if you get, you know, say it's a touchback, say you get 2 yards on offense, you're at the 27, and then you got to punt it away. Okay, well, if you only punt it 37 yards, your opponent's going to start at the 40. Now, it's their own 40, but you're not exactly flipping the field there. And that's where I'm hoping that Mark Crawford, as a grown man, can come in and actually provide Minnesota, say, an extra 5-6 yards to allow Rossi a little bit more yardage to work with.
You know, in general, I think that the general narrative around special teams is it can only go up from here.
It certainly can't go down.
Right.
But now here's what I will say. Yeah, Minnesota was awful in yards per punt. They were dreadful. They were first in yards allowed. They didn't really allow anybody to return a punt, which, yay, I guess. But I'd hope you can cover a 37-yard punt. Like, if you can't, we're going to have a long chat about what does the speed look like on Minnesota's gunners.
Yeah.
But Luke, you put it, you know, we're going to be optimistic on this portion, maybe a little bit sarcastically. But, yeah, it's only up from here. And let's hope that the Australian can provide a spark from his land down under.
Let's talk about kick returns. This is an area that was largely non-existent for the most part. It was very, very conservative, to say the best. A lot of fair catches, both on kick returns and punt returns.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm looking at Minnesota's punt return yards last year. Folks, they had negative punt return yards in Big Ten play. Can you imagine where that ranked? It ranks last, dead last, Minnesota Golden Gophers with -3 punt return yards in Big Ten play. Kickoff return, I think they were 10th, and they weren't good. And I'm expecting a change at the return position there for both punt and kick return from Demetrius Douglas. I don't know how much more clear I can make it. GI members, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's something to where I have no idea who is going to return then. Is it going to be Trey Potts, Cam Wiley? We're going to get to find out. And as Luke, you mentioned it, it's only up from here. Right. No, hopefully.
It can't really get much worse. Let's talk about some kick coverage. This is a position group that should benefit from this whole, you know, nobody loses eligibility, right? So you may just play anybody on special teams. They're not going to try and protect anyone. Yep. So you'd have to think that coverage should be better as well.
I mean, if coverage isn't better when you get to have Donald Willis for 9 games and James Gordon, Cody Lindenberg, Jaquandis Burns, Josh Honey, Michael Dixon, Miles Fleming, these are guys that are not afraid to get physical down the field. And if it's not better with those guys likely being a large part of your special teams and a large part of your kickoff coverage, because all I can think about, here's what I'll say. If Minnesota does that stupid tight formation where guys are running in the middle and they don't have their lane set on the outside, all I can think about is Auburn's Noah Igbohene running untouched 100 yards for a touchdown. And then all I know is my mentions are just going to be like, LOL, 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 go for special teams, LOL, LOL, LOL. Like, kickoff coverage should be, in theory, a lot better with 9 games of talented young linebackers that aren't afraid to be physical. And instead of having some walk-ons on there, no offense to Minnesota's walk-ons, I'd much rather have James Gordon and Donald Willis on there for 9 games to try and cause havoc than some of those guys. So kickoff coverage, Luke. I mean, it should be better.
Yeah.
I mean, it should.
I guess we got to figure out who's going to kick it, both special teams and kickoffs, right? We have Michael Lance, Brock Walker, both
is took. Be Grant Riersay.
Grant Riersay.
Subsequently benched for putting it right exactly where he should in the bowl game. I don't know. I mean, from what I've heard behind the scenes, they want it to be Michael Lance. He's their scholarship kicker now as a true sophomore. But I'm not counting out Brock Walker because I'm not convinced that Michael Lance has the leg to make a 48-yard field goal. I remember watching the 40-yard field goals last year thinking, boy, that didn't look too great in terms of leg strength there. Now, I think there's a lot to be said for the confidence, especially in this unit, especially in the kicking game, is I think whoever Rob Wenger decides to go with, whether it's Michael Lance or Brock Walker is their PAT guy / field goal, stick with them. Because if you want to be damaging psyches of a very fragile position that is the kicking game and having them think, well, I better not miss this or else I'm going to get pulled. Better not miss this or else I'm going to get pulled. Like, you need to stick with somebody and just go with it and go with it. And hopefully it goes well for Minnesota, but just another question mark I have is Grant Riersay the guy kicking off? If I'd hope so. I mean, he's a scholarship guy. And if in the kicking game, I'm just hoping Minnesota can beat their best. You know what? Change their best, Luke. They're going to change their best and have a new long this year because their longest field goal made last year was 40 yards. How about we change it to 45 or maybe 48? What do you think?
That would be nice. That would be very nice. Now let's talk a little bit about who might do the kick returning. I know you mentioned, you know, Trey Potts,
Cam Wiley.
Who really knows?
Daniel Jackson, Doug Emlin. I'm not there. I mean, those would be my guesses. But just like PJ Fleck and the Gopher media people refuse to update the online roster, folks, if you search Gopher football roster and you click on it from the Gopher Sports website, the last time that was accurate was February. Every other Big Ten football team has updated their rosters to reflect what's currently happening. Minnesota's hasn't. And I don't know if that's competitive advantage. I don't know if that's, I guess, quote unquote laziness. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I know they're aware of it, but they just don't want to fix it. So it is what it is. So, you know, maybe they're going to change their best too, Luke. Maybe they will. Maybe in the next 20 days before the game, we'll get updated numbers. We'll have actual freshmen like Michael Dixon and Doug Emlin and Daniel Jackson on the physical online roster because sources tell me they're real people and they're really on the team. But we'll have to kind of see how it plays out.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week to preview the season prediction as I think kickoff is, what, 20-ish days away?
20 days away. Right. Minnesota takes on Michigan. Now, if you've made it all the way to the end of this podcast, a little nugget for you is a treat. would be, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a night game. I don't think they're going to get flexed to Friday night, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a 6 o'clock start for this game. Now, I think we're going to find out this week, the Big Ten / media outlets that be Fox, ABC, ESPN, Big Ten Network are going to figure that out. But I wouldn't be surprised to see that in prime time, which is that good or bad? I don't know.
Would be the year, though, that you know the Gophers either have the late afternoon or all evening games and all the people can't tailgate. This would be the year.
So it's no kidding. So we'll be back next week to – boy, it's already time, Luke. It's season predictions time where we get to see how we did the last couple of years. Give our thoughts on this 9-game/8-game schedule. Well, it's 9 games. Big Ten schedule. And you can give us grief one way or another for it. And then before you know it, Luke, it's game week and we get to preview the Michigan Wolverines.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening again. If you can rate and review the podcast, leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. We might even read it on the podcast here itself. So I guess we're probably looking for humorous replies now. That seems to be a thing because we found one. Again, want to thank you for listening and go Gophers.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.